gore, and sometimes a little more. My Bloody Podcast.
And welcome to My Bloody Podcast. This is our Christmas special episode. We're so excited to be here. We're in Dallas, Texas. It's raining. It's December. It's almost Christmas. It's Hanukkah right now, too. I'm celebrating with lights and candles. I'm Brian Kluger. We have just an excellent episode today, all about horror, all about Christmas, all about music. Preston, who is our special guest today? My Santa Claus to my Hanukkah Harry, Preston Barta, ladies and gentlemen. He's amazing.
Thank you. Well, I guess I could say that we were delivered a Christmas gift wrapped.
A Christmas miracle.
There you go. For our 30th episode, so thank you so much. So we have Anna and the Apocalypse, the star of Anna and the Apocalypse, the titular star, Ella Hunt, on the show today. So
yay!
Thank you.
Sup?
And we saw a movie at a festival a while ago.
A year and some change.
So much fun. I just found myself just enjoying the hell out of it.
Thank you so much.
Preston, start us off.
Sure. We actually talked at Fantastic Fest with the rest of the guys.
Yeah, and I vaguely remember you.
I asked...
so many people to see this movie, though.
I believe it. Maybe you might remember me asking, like, favorite movie death scene.
Yes.
And then John talking about zombie and sharks versus zombies. Yeah. But anyway, at that junket, I asked you, I said that my favorite thing about the film is the themes. Like, it's more than just a Christmas zombie musical. There's much more to it, mm-hmm. With the coming of age and then the social commentary about, you know, us virtually being zombies because of technology in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, since it's been a year and some change since then, and you've completely absorbed everything, all the themes in the film. How much of it has it altered your perspective since then? Like, do you put your phone down more, or do you more into horror now?
I more and more think about the impact of phones on us as a society. Wow, that's a tongue twister I didn't expect. I want to see more and more films and television looking at phones and connectivity as a serious, serious conversation. And I think that's developed in the last year. I unfortunately still feel completely addicted to my phone and want that to change. But at the moment, especially with this press tour, I just feel like if I'm not doing press, I'm posting. And I've never been that person that likes to post. And I have social media as a work tool. But now with like such a massive flux in like work stuff, I now have so much to post to the point where I'm like, I don't know who I am anymore. And I'd say in terms of horror, I am definitely becoming more aware of horror as a genre and as a medium for serious conversation. I think it's horror movies are an exciting platform where you can, I've said this a couple of times, you can think you're eating dessert, but you're actually being fed vegetables.
Yeah.
And I just feel like horror movies are a great, great medium to actually talk about serious issues without talking about them head on.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually like what you brought up with using your phone and maybe social media, like in the apocalypse. If there's a zombie apocalypse, would you use your phone to like coordinate and strategize with people or post like where you are, where safe havens are?
Yeah, totally. I think like we have to use this newfound technology as like as a positive medium. We have to use it for what it's great for. I can imagine people wanting to take selfies and take photographs of the zombies, but yeah, absolutely. Strategize. Think about what you can do. I think it's the greatest thing as a human around today is that we all have like the power at our fingertips to learn and just with our phones, just like it's a Bible of knowledge.
Right, no, it is. Everything at your fingertips. The size of a credit card. I like that. It makes everything so easy.
Credit cards don't make everything easy.
Well, I guess you in a zombie apocalypse, you wouldn't need one, per se.
No. Just, well, I don't know. Mm. Who knows?
Cash has to keep you warm for a fire. I don't know.
Yeah. I think another thing that really sticks out is, you know, the production design and everything that's involved. The set piece that really sticks out, the one that I think I had the most fun with and probably a lot of people, is when, you know, you wake up and it's a brand new day.
Yes, and then I'm miles away.
Yeah, you're completely oblivious and then the zombie outbreak is happening. And that's where it's feeding into the idea of technology, of us, you know, being distracted, having our earbuds in, and just being completely oblivious.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think, like, I can relate to that scene as somebody without a phone, as somebody with a phone in a lot of ways. Because, you know, if you're dancing about in your bedroom, you can be dancing around for, like, 15 minutes before you realize your mum's stood in the corner with your dirty laundry.
Right.
Something I do constantly.
Yeah. I think we're all going to be recreating a lot of the dance moves that you do with the balancing. And then there's like one movement where you're like really down to the ground and you're just like going down. And I don't know. It reminds me of like, I don't know, Michael Jackson in Thriller or something like that.
Of course, yeah.
Thanks, dude.
Absolutely.
Well, you took like that choreographer took, you know, kind of like zombie or horror-esque elements and like used them in the choreography, which was definitely used.
Yeah, I mean, and also with the dance moves, like especially with that scene where I'm dancing through the graveyard, a lot of it was about doing what I felt comfortable doing, because Sarah wanted everything to be like an extension of what we'd actually do. So it was a very collaborative process, a lot of the choreography. So that move was very much something where she wanted me kind of gliding along and then to have a pause where the camera could zoom in on me and to be doing something that felt passionate and angsty, and that my brothers do that dance move with their knees, kind of,
yeah,
where you go loosey-goosey with your knees and kind of go twist and shout.
Yeah,
you know, when you that sort of movement. So that was where I was taking that from. But yeah, it was a super collaborative process, the movement stuff.
Yeah, well, I love it when they do the guitar solo and then both you and Malcolm are just going crazy.
That was, I mean, Malcolm's guitar solo is a crowning jewel of the film.
Yeah.
Did we get to keep the guitar? Because that I want more guitars in bands. I just don't see those hardly at all anymore.
Ah, we need to bring it back.
Yeah, I love that. And speaking of like all the music in the film, and you being a music fan and perhaps like creating a bunch of music, what some of your inspirations music wise, or some of like the most curious albums you own that always inspire you?
Jeff Buckley, Grace is good.
Oh, heck yeah!
Yeah, it's a really really influential album to me. Joni Mitchell, anything Joni Mitchell, really. I also grew up listening to a lot of jazz, and my dad was very into Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan.
Right. Oh.
So those were kind of records that played in the house. So I have a very eclectic taste in music. There are a lot of things that I draw inspiration from.
Oh, no, that's... You hit the great ones right there.
Thanks.
I liked it. and as far as, you know, obviously being a fan of film and everything, some of your favorite scenes in films that always stuck with you when you're in front of the camera and you're like, I gotta emulate this one.
Oh, wow. That's such a difficult question. I don't know why it's just popped into my head. This is probably not answering your question. There's a scene in The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's my favorite Christmas movie. where Gina Davis is chopping carrots.
Yes.
It's this moment when she realizes that she might have been a chef in a past life. Or she's like lost her memory and she thinks, oh my God, I was a chef, because she starts cutting the carrots really incredibly. And then she gets so confident with this knife that she's cutting with that she throws knives around her husband at the fridge. And she's like, chefs do that. There's something about the like seriousness and the playfulness that she throws into that scene that I so am into.
No, that is so good. One of my favorite scenes is in that movie is when Gina Davis kicks Sam Jackson out of the car and he just lays there and smokes a cigarette until she picks him up again. It's like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It's a great movie.
Oh, Long Kiss, Good Night. I like it. Any other Anne in the Apocalypse stuff before we move to Bloody Questions?
No, I think we should move to Bloody Questions.
All right, Bloody
Questions.
Oh, there we go.
We're going to use that from now on.
Yes, we are. Our first question, what do you think the best song created for a horror movie, the best song that was created for a horror movie is?
We can go and then you can think about it.
So yeah. Mine is from, I have two. Okay. Critters, Power of the Night by Terrence Mann sings it, Power of the Night. And yeah. Then the Monster Squad, the Monster Squad.
Okay.
It's like the Monster Squad rap from the 80s.
Nice.
Preston.
Okay. Number one is Goodbye Horses, Silence of the Lambs. Like,
you can't get that image out of your head at all. Goodbye, ding ding.
Yeah.
Every song in Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that when I was 8 years old for the first time at the theater.
Damn it. I love you. I love that so much.
The road was long, but I ran. I could go on.
And also, kiss me. I want to be dirty. That one. Oh. Everything in that film.
Yeah. Hardcore yes to that. Okay, I love it. Second bloody question. Boom, boom, boom. Since we're talking about zombies... What type of zombie, if you were to be bitten by a zombie, you're turning to zombie, what type of zombie would you want to be? So, for example, I would love to be like an 800-pound zombie that my trait was to like puke on other zombies to attract other zombies to people.
Wow, what?
Deadly specific.
That's so specific. I want to be a slow-moving zombie. There's no interest. I have no interest in being a fast-moving zombie. I want to have rigor mortis in so many places that it's like a hard to move.
That's the lazy way out.
Yeah, I want to be the laziest zombie you've ever seen.
I like that. Preston?
Mine's just being Santa Claus. I just like because we have a Santa Claus zombie in Anne of the Apocalypse. But I just like the idea of taking something that's super comfortable to people and then just completely flipping it on its head.
Like the Easter Bunny.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Or a snowman.
I like it. It's scarier because you bring something from your childhood. All right, last bloody question.
I'll take it. Yeah, so one of my favorite songs that comes up a couple times in the film is, you know, Hollywood Ending. So is there, I'm not sure, like, how many horror films that you've seen in your life, but have you seen any that have, like, a happy ending, that have that Hollywood ending that you like?
Okay,
I'll go first. I have two. Zombieland, because everybody survives at the end. He gets his Twinkie, they go on, they're kind of family. I mean, it doesn't work out for Bill Murray, but Zombieland. And then, I'll say it, The Exorcist, because... The little girl, Reagan, survives. Her mother survives. Everything's fine. She does not have a memory of it at all. I mean, the poor priest knows, he says his penance. I think that's a happy ending for as crazy as that movie is and scary as that movie is. For her, at least for Reagan.
Sure. Get Out has a happy ending.
Yep.
Which one?
Get Out.
Get Out.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yes, it does. I wanted to swear.
You can.
It fucking does.
It does.
Get Out. I loved Get Out as a film. I think it's so much. I think it's a psychological thriller as much as it is a horror movie. And it definitely has a happy ending.
Well, because I think it's such a great ending because at the end when the lights come up and you're like, oh no, it's gonna get worse, and then it's him, the TS motherfucking A, right? Yeah. And it's just.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
It makes me want to go watch that right now.
It's a great movie.
Unless you watch the alternate ending.
Yeah, I've seen the alternate ending.
Wait,
and it's
there's
not
an alternate
fun.
Ending?
Yeah,
yes, he
goes to jail.
Yeah, he's in jail.
It's actually the cops that show up, and then they take him to jail.
He goes to jail, and he's in prison.
What?
Yes. So be
glad.
Yeah.
Thank God they didn't go with that.
Yeah, thank God they didn't go with that.
Well, Get Out was on my list, but I think if I had to pick one, Housebound. There's a New Zealand film that we saw at Fantastic Fest.
Oh,
do you remember?
Yes, that's right.
Have you ever seen it or heard of it?
No.
It's like one of those situations where there's a haunted house, but there's somebody living inside the walls, and the person that you think is the bad guy is not the bad guy, and the person you think is the good guy is the bad guy. So it's just one of those things.
Spoilers.
Have you guys seen What We Do in the Shadows?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a real favorite.
And that's coming back.
I know it's not actually it's not really a horror movie, but it's a genre movie.
Oh, no, I think it's horror comedy in that mix.
It's great.
It's so good because
just wanted to talk about What We Do in the Shadows.
No, it is. It's just because you want to, when you see all these movies, like, or vampires, it totally takes over all the parts we don't see in movies.
Yes.
And how their real lives are like. And I love that so much.
It's great.
I want that for every horror creature out there.
And werewolves, the werewolves bit of that movie to me is the best movie. We're werewolves, not swearwolves.
Yeah.
Okay. And they may make that whole the sequel.
Well, Jermaine and Matt Berry,
yeah.
Which Matt Berry as Toast of London is great. I just love him. But yes, it's awesome. I love that.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome. All right, we should do bloody recommendations.
Sure.
This segment is where we kind of...
Oh, there's more?
Yeah, one more thing.
Whoa.
A bloody recommendation where you pick out a movie, new or old, that you just want to suggest to people in the horror genre. So
I literally just did it with What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay, What We Do in the Shadows, there you go.
That's my one.
That's your one?
Yeah.
Just because we can see it on digital, I think, right now, right?
Yeah.
All right, mine is Little Shop of Horrors, the 80s comedy horror film, because it's amazing. That movie originally was made on a bet with Roger Corman that he couldn't make a movie in a day. And he did. And then they remade it with Frank Oz directing. Yes, that Frank Oz. And it's great. And that has an insane multi-million-dollar alternate ending where all the plants come and destroy New York City. Multiple of them. And it's crazy. They never put that in the theater. But yes, yours.
All right. Last one real quick. So last night, I saw Silent Night, Deadly Night from 1984, and it's a film that I watch pretty regularly every Christmas, but I got to see it on the big screen for the first time, and I feel like it relates to this because we have a killer Santa, the idea of Christmas, but this isn't a zombie, flesh-eating Santa. This is an axe-wielding Santa that kills people who are on the naughty list. But there's more to it, just like in an apocalypse, like what you were saying with like a dessert having vegetables there. Like they take time to make you sympathize with the character, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's great. It's always fun. And Ella, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much
on my bloody podcast. And everybody, seriously, go see Anna and the Apocalypse because it's a musical Christmas zombie high school amazing flick. You're gonna have the most fun this holiday season with it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.